Welcome everyone to the Maintenance Mavericks podcast, where we talk about trends in maintenance, reliability, and asset operations. My name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep, which is an asset operations management software. Today's guest, we got our very own Ramesh Gulati, the one, the only reliability Sherpa. He's one of our recurring guests back here on the show, and it's always a blast having you here. So what's going on, Ramesh? How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Excellent. I'm always looking forward for this day so we can talk, chit chat. In fact, on my calendar, it says coffee with Ryan.
Ryan. So the topic that I really wanted to chat with you about today was centered around sustainability. I think a lot of organizations right now, sustainability, carbon footprint, like advocating for reducing our reliance on fossil fuels has become a really big topic for, you know, industrial plants and companies. So I'm going to throw out just a very, very, very broad question here, Ramesh. Like, what do you think about all of this around the talk around sustainability, the importance of it? Who should be responsible for it? Who should be held accountable for, you know, sustainability of, you know, our earth that we live in? And is it the plants, you know, responsibility? Is it individuals? Is it everyone? What do you think? What's going on?
Hey, great question. Very timely question. You know, let's talk about what's sustainability to a common man, you know, to us and to us maintenance reliability professional in the plant area, in the factories. You know, when, as I said, when we talk about sustainability, we think of environment. It's not just environment. It has a three dimensions, sustainability. One is environment, social, and economic. Sometimes we call it people, planet, profits, also known as the triple bottom line. Really, what we are trying to do, or we should be doing, that we have to make our businesses, or we should consider a business as sustainable when we are able to conserve natural resources and to have a support, a healthy community where our plants are, where our factories are, support them and have enough resources. We make some profit, so we are sustainable, viable for the long run. So it's not just we have to look into, we have to make our plan sustainable, conserve our resources, make sure our community where we live, the social area, that's taken care of, and we are financially viable. Okay, so we have to make sustainable, we have to make ensure that our plants, our businesses reduce environmental footprint by using more renewable energy, reducing waste. Also, we have to thinking about diversity and fairness in our workforce. But again, all kind of things. Also, we have to make sure we have right policy in place so we are supporting our community. So now let's get back to really what's our, it's everyone's responsibility, sustainability. Mm-hmm. We have to do our part individually. We have to do as a maintenance reliability professional in the plant area. We have to do our part. How we can reduce our conserve energy, to speak, like electricity. What we can do, how we can use more use of green energy, renewable energy. No, there's issue there. Hey, what can, there's not much available. Mostly is a fossil power. Again, there's a nuclear part. Somehow we have last couple of few decades since Three Mile Island and Chernobyl in Russia, we kind of say, hey, nuclear energy not for us. But that's a little bit, I think we have learned a lot. We have to start using that one. It's better than using a fossil, you know, fuels, you know. So because that's more a nuclear, I think we have make it much safer. So we could use that. I think that's what we have to start thinking, is how we can reduce our natural resources and use more this renewable energy as much as possible and conserve our natural resources.
Right. And, you know, I 100% agree. It's it's this focus on building a sustainable world that we live in. I think, you know, you and I were kind of mentioning around water, the usable water. We talked about fossil fuels right before we hit record. And right now, and I think what a lot of politicians are bringing up is, you know, the way that we're running a lot of our businesses and the way that we're running the day-to-day today is not sustainable. So we need to get to that place.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how and when. And so I think what we've seen over the past, you know, several years and decades has, you know, what I think has been a lot of like responsibility on businesses, and especially in industrial businesses. There's been a lot of like rules, laws, regulations that have been passed on businesses that, you know, require them to have certain standards that meet this level of, you know, running their plant, their business off of renewables, less reliance on, you know, natural gases. And as a result of that, you know, it is changing our industry.
Yes.
So I kind of want to ask you the question, like, how are you and how do you see like the focus, the push of sustainability? How do you see this impacting, you know, our industry and people in our industry, maintenance, reliability, operations, industrials?
Well, we have to start looking at our process, where we use our energy, our natural resources. Like, hey, a lot of our heavy industry, steel plants. Let's take steel plants for heavy industry. There we use a lot of coke, coal, as you know, which is raw material, your iron ore, and we put in the blast furnace to make steel. How we can change that process? There are some, I think industry has come up a better process, minimizing use of coal. They want to go of these arc furnaces, which takes less, doesn't take that much coke at all. You know, it's more you take an iron pellet and you know, arc furnaces, and then you and use also your scrap material or those kind of things. So I think industry are coming with a better process, and we keep continuing that. I remember back in 70s and 80s when we had a crisis, that time we were, I think I was involved in I was working in an industry where we had a lot of forging furnaces. You know, we were making some metal products, and we had to go convert our furnaces to oil, propane, and natural gas. Okay, we did that. However, also we did was how we can, you know, there's a lot of in a that of process, you take a lot of your flue gases coming out, which is waste. How you can heat your incoming air, you know. So we put a lot of recuperators, those kind of devices. So we, and then I think men got a lot of energy, so we got lenient. We have not done. I think we need to continuously looking ways to improve our process so we reduce our energy usage, electricity, gases, water, all those kind of things are there. So the thing is how we can make it net zero emission to speak. What's a net zero emission? But that means what we are emitting in the atmosphere, we are taking also out from our, you know, there. So that's a net zero. So we have to start looking how we can minimize emission of carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, methane, those gases, how we can minimize that, you know. So that's whole thing we have to look in our process, how we can reduce energy usage and, in fact, all natural resources, including the water, and how we can make our air more clear, cleaner. In fact, that reminds me, when a pandemic started about 2 years ago, and during that time, in one of the country, I know in India and other places there, this town couldn't see the, about there was a hill, Mount Everest to speak, about 200 miles away. In the normal day, they couldn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But during pandemic, the factory was closed, everything was conserving kind of energy, they could see the mountain, Mount Everest. So, I mean, we could do it, but only thing, we have to minimize what we emit in the atmosphere, you know. So that's what we have to do, how we can conserve looking at our process, what goes in, and doing an assessment, and then how we can make a, come up with a better process.
I mean, I think if you ask anyone in the industry, I feel like in the world, the answer around like get to, you know, net zero, you know, focus more on renewables. We talked about solar and wind and, you know, even hydroelectric power. Like, you know, I think everyone could agree that focus on renewables is important. We should do it. It makes the world a better place that we all live in.
In our houses, we can put solar power in every houses, you know, wherever. I mean, if there's a lot of sun coming out, hey, it is happening now. So we have to start doing those kind of things, you know.
Yeah. But there's a common theme, even in our podcast episodes, around cost and budget and the ability to fund even what we perceive oftentimes as like critical, like, you know, operations to support our business and maintaining our assets. How do businesses best manage a budget, a very finite budget, when it feels so constrained? We got to do good for the world, make sure that we're sustainable, make sure that we're a profitable business so that we can, you know, survive another day and, you know,
build
better products for our, you know, customers.
We, as a all together, our finance people including, have to understand, hey, what's good for all of us, the worldwide. And when we are trying to justify our this energy conservation related projects, less return on investment should not be 20-30%. Let's reduce it 10% or 5%. It's a long-term return, but we can make it, there's some other benefits which are not calculated there. We have to come up, hey, what other benefits, not just the calculations there. I know back in 70s, that example, 80s, when we're trying to justify, hey, normally projects return would be, hey, they want 4 years, 5 years payout to justify your project, you know, 20-25% return.
Yeah.
Where, but on energy kind of thing, the corporation decided, and let's do even 10%, you know, it's okay, you know. So I think those kind of decisions we have to make, what's good for all of us, and then we can, you know, it may take a little bit longer to get our money back, you know, but there's some other benefit, environmental benefit, which we don't consider. We have to think about, hey, how we can improving our environment or something.
I mean, you kind of bring up a really good point around, like, I think businesses and even individuals are very, very short-term focused. It's like, you know, myself this year, you know, upcoming quarter and hitting our, you know, goals of Wall Street. And that's okay. Like that's very understandable. But when we think about sustainability of the world, that's not a short-term horizon thing. This is, you know, something that impacts us for, you know, generations beyond us. I think, you know, what we've seen be, you know, semi-effective, I think that I'm sure this is very controversial here, is carbon credits. Yeah. You know, be a good, like, option towards support, basically putting a financial incentive, because we know that people move when there's a financial incentive. So these carbon credits have been good for a lot of businesses to move towards, you know, building more sustainability within their business. Again, there's lots of good, lots of bad. Some people abuse this. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts around, like, better ways to solve this? Like, sustainability is a much longer term thing that's so important, but businesses are also very focused on the short term, you know, making sure that we hit the goals of Wall Street.
I think it's an industry and academia have to work together. Let me give you another example, which I was reading just a few weeks ago. Let's take a blue jean. To make a blue jean, we need a cotton. Then we have to process that cotton and make a textile. And then we make a blue jean. Then we make it and then we dye it out. And they figured it out. It takes almost 1,000 gallons of water to make a blue jean. Okay. Now, from making a cotton to all the way to blue jean. Now, I think the companies and the academia, they have started looking where in each step, what they can do to improve the process, reduce water usage. So they are developing methods individually in different places in the step in making a gene, blue gene, you know, how we can make it better. I think that's what we have to start looking into and working companies, academia, all together, how we can look, hey, what's really, how we can take a product from start to end, how we can, all different steps we have to take, how we can reduce our energy input at different stages. Okay. I think that we have to start looking into, you know, how we can do that, and that's going to be better. And now, hey, water is another, you know, water is a, as I was talking earlier, you know, hey, that's another resource is scarcity. We are lucky in North America and US, we don't have that much problem. Well, some cases in California where you live, is there is a problem. Drought is coming, is there. But hey, the world, the earth is covered with the 70% with the water. However, only 3% of that water is usable, drinkable, or fresh water. And that 3% of that, only 0.5% is available to us to use, because other 2-2.5% is in glaciers or trapped, you know, underneath, or, you know, so we cannot make use of those, you know. So we have to start not just a renewable energy when we are talking, we have to think about water also, how we can conserve water. So there are companies are working on, and also there was a UN study that 50 or some high number of water, good water, which we have, fresh water we are sending to the, our homes, is get lost in our infrastructure. And we are hoping, we talk about infrastructure, hoping that infrastructure is going to take care of those pipes, you know, where water is leaking, and we can reduce that kind of thing. So there's a lot of interconnection. Infrastructure has to play, that money budgets are coming. We can help that one, should help our infrastructure and our plants. So it's not just a small thing. It's going to take us a long time to do all of these things, but we have to have some kind of plan, and somehow our all have to work together. To me, financial people and the plant people all have to work together to find how we can justify these projects easily, so we can do some of the sustainability things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to your point, it's a group effort. This is not just, you know, one department, the sustainability department, trying to, you know, dictate, you know, what we do at our plant. Like, this is, it's got to be a full group buy-in, and it has to have a financial impact too, which is obviously why we talked a little bit more about, you know, carbon credits. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of challenges ahead, but there's also a lot of opportunities ahead for, you know, emerging managers, people who really care about this space and care about doing good for sustainability, our earth. Do you have any recommendations for people who are interested in this space and wanting to do good to really get ahead of it?
Again, this is a data scatter around. You have to Google, I have to Google, find something. The UN has done a good job. There's some sustainability reports out there. Department of Energy has a good work on how to select a more energy efficient motors, you know, which we use, operation maintenance guys use a lot of motors, how we can conserve energy, air leaks a lot, you know, how we can do, you know, making sure we have a air leakage program. Nowadays we can buy this ultrasonic gun, $2,000 or something, and we can find the way the air leaks are. Air leaks means we are reducing our electricity consumption, compressor is running less, you know. So those are, we have to look every aspect where we can reduce our, the waste, to speak. We have to eliminate all our waste, which is not adding any value to our process. So that's, I think we need to have a, there is also ISO standard on energy management, ISO 50,000. We can go there. So look in some guidance there, we can get from there. So there's some resources available to us where we can go and see, learn from these things, how we can do that.
All right. Lots of good resources and, you know, lots of good opportunities for the future. So if you're interested in that, you know, obviously there's so much good going on in the world, but so much still to do. Ramesh, I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing all of your insights around, you know, this topic around sustainability. If there's one big takeaway that you hope that all of our listeners would take away from today's discussion, what would you say that is?
Be energy conscious. Try to minimize energy usage. And when you talk energy usage, don't think just electric gas or petrol or some of those things. Think about electricity, water, all of those things. You know, how we can try to recognize the waste. What's input going, what output, how much we are wasting goes to up in the stack, you know, up in the atmosphere, you know, how try to find that and how, and then find the ways how we get eliminate those waste. Let's not pollute the environment. And we are talking land, air, water, as try to minimize the waste. Also the practice, in fact, I wrote is kind of a checklist in my book, in my third edition. I talk about sustainability, how we can minimize our waste, what we buy, you know, our at home or at our work, how we can be a more conscious of energy efficient things, you know. You know? So that's kind of the, hey, even our transportation. Have you bought a hybrid or electric car yet, you know? Think about that one, you know? So what we can do to minimize, again, yes, I see there's some issues there on charging stations and those kind of things, but I think we are trying to resolve those. So my bottom line, hey, all of us has to play in this. Let's try to be more, conserve our energy, minimize use of electricity, water, gases, all those kind of things.
Yep, absolutely. You know, there's a lot that we can do at the personal level on top of the business level, corporate level as well. Again, thank you so much, Ramesh. Can you share with all of our listeners the different ways that they can connect with you and, you know, follow you on your journey?
Sure. Hey, they can call me or, I mean, they can communicate with me, ramesh.gulati at ReliabilityX or hotmail.com. Either way, and I'm also LinkedIn. Mostly, I don't go that often, but I go there once or twice a week, and I can answer there at the LinkedIn also. Awesome. And they can contact your upkeep. And
yeah, that's totally right. You know, if you want Ramesh's contact information, you can also reach out to myself. You know, we'll get you connected too. So thank you again, Ramesh, for joining us. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today's episode of the Maintenance Mavericks podcast. Again, my name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep. You can connect with me. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Shoot me an email, ryan@upkeep.com. I hope everyone enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to connecting with all of you soon. Until next time, thank you again, Ramesh.
Thank you, Ryan.